The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I wanted to read to you from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 10, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Well, it's a great pleasure of mine to introduce the guest that we have this morning, a man who has been persecuted, in my opinion, for the sake of righteousness, a man who stands up for the truth, a warrior for the truth, even when it costs him a great personal cost, and that is Judge Roy Moore, known as the Ten Commandments Judge. Judge, I want to welcome you to the program.
Thank you, Pastor. Nice to be with you.
Well, I don't know if you remember, Judge, you were at First Baptist Texarkana, gosh, almost 15, 20 years ago. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
You flew in a little puddle jumper, and it was a long flight. I remember that. So I appreciated you coming. We had a big worldwide television event that night with Trinity Broadcasting Network, and you were the featured guest on the program. So, Judge, you've been through a lot. I was looking at your resume, such an impressive resume. West Point grad, graduated from the University of Alabama Law School in 1977. You served in Vietnam for 5 years, is that right, in the Army Military Police Company Commander, and then your legal career. You have stood up for the Word of God, even when it cost you your position as the Chief Justice. You've been lied about. You've been smeared. You know, I think one of the things I love about Donald Trump is he's like a Timex watch. He takes a licking and keeps on ticking. I think the same could be said for you. I was very glad to see that you won an $8 million defamation lawsuit against the Senate Majority PAC for the smear campaign they did on you in 2017. How are you able to keep going?
Well, I keep going because that's what God puts us here on earth for, is to keep fighting, and that's what I do. And I believe that our country's turning around. I have great hopes for our country, and, of course, always hope in God.
Amen. Let's go back to the, because you're very well known for the Ten Commandments. You fought that case, and they didn't see it your way. But obviously, if the Ten Commandments are posted in the Supreme Court of the United States, why can't they be posted everywhere?
Well, historically, the Ten Commandments were part of our country. It's more than just what I believe or a religious thing. It's about God. It's about the law of God. And our nation was founded upon the law of God. The Constitution was written as if by the finger of God, according to James Madison. And I guess James Madison should know the Constitution. He's often said the father of the Constitution. We have forgotten how much the law of God means to us. In fact, Jeff, this is so misunderstood by people. I said, well, we got separation of church and state. Yes, we do. And in fact, the Ten Commandments represent the First Amendment, the United States Constitution, in separating church and state. The first four commandments, as you well know, are duties you owe to the Creator. Those duties can't be dictated by government. That's why there's a separation. But they can't be mandated by government either. And the second table of the law, the second command, second table of the law, the sixth commandments, are the duties we owe to each other, and upon which all our laws are founded. Laws of punishment for murder, for stealing, for false witness, they're all contained in the Ten Commandments. George Washington, of course, president of our country and president of the convention that formed the Constitution, knew our country. And he knew that what was important was morality. We've forgotten that in our country. He said in his farewell address, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. And by definition of Webster in 1828, the word religion was the duties we owe to the Creator and the manner of discharging those duties. And we've forgotten what the Ten Commandments mean to our country.
Well, when they told you you couldn't display, I saw the big monument that you set up out of that was right in front of the Alabama Supreme Court. Is that right?
It was in the rotunda of the Alabama Supreme Court building in Montgomery, Alabama. Yes, sir.
Okay. So was it the ACLU that first came after you for that?
Yes, the ACLU and other liberal groups, Southern Poverty Law Center, people that don't like the acknowledgement of God in our country. And it's ridiculous to me because God was acknowledged throughout our history. In God we trust is our national motto. So help me God, every oath taken. We have so help me God ending it. We can't do away with the acknowledgement of God. If we do, we do away with our morality and our virtue. And that's what's happening in our country.
How did they rule on that, Judge? I mean, what was the rationale for striking down your position?
Well, actually, the federal judge, Myron Thompson, in Montgomery, Alabama, said the state may not acknowledge the sovereignty of the Judeo-Christian God and attribute to that God our religious freedom, religious liberty. And that's such a ridiculous statement. We acknowledge God throughout our country, and our freedom of religion, our freedom to believe what we want, comes from God. It doesn't come from government. If it did, we couldn't believe what we want. It would be against their law. But, you know, their rationale, what they say, well, I disobeyed the law. There is no law that says you can't not acknowledge God. And basically that's what the monument was. It was a monument to acknowledge the sovereignty of the Judeo-Christian God. And he ruled directly contrary to that. He said the state may not acknowledge the sovereignty of the Judeo-Christian God. Well, throughout our history, every president acknowledges God. We've acknowledged God throughout our history, and presently we do still. So,
well, in all of what we have in the federal buildings, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, aren't the Ten Commandments listed in the Supreme Court or in one of those?
The facade over the east part of the building shows Moses holding the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
It's on the top of the building. The plaque over the justices are numbered 1 through 10. They say those are now the first amendments. They're not. they were representing of the Ten Commandments. Certainly we can't do away with representing God and our government and in our law.
Okay, so that was when you lost that was in 2003, is that right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And that cost you your position as the Chief Justice?
Yes, it did, but not because of the federal court or the federal judge. It was because of the Judicial Inquiry Commission in Alabama, and many states have this. They control the judges and the law, and they'll actually remove you for things like this, and it shouldn't have happened. I didn't disobey the law, I upheld the law.
And then you were back as the Chief Justice in 2013, is that right?
I was out of the office of Chief Justice for about 9 years, and I was reelected by the people and put back into the Supreme Court in the same position, same desk, same secretaries that I had.
Okay, and then that lasted for what, 3 years, and then there was another issue?
Approximately 3 years, and then came the issue of same-sex marriage, and it's so misunderstood that, you know, but I was not removed. I was suspended by the Judicial Inquiry Commission. They didn't have enough votes, so they suspended me and said I could be Chief Justice, but I couldn't hold a job, I couldn't make an opinion, I couldn't do anything, so eventually I retired.
Well, okay, so when you read Matthew 5, blessed are those who are persecuted for
righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Do you feel blessed?
Well, that's one thing you learn out of this, Jeff, that people don't understand. When they come after you, and they will for the acknowledgement of God, it's difficult. It's difficult for your family. It's difficult mm-hmm. for you. You have to realize you're attacked with false accusations and things like that. But you learn from that that you are blessed. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice mm-hmm. and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I don't propose to be a prophet, but acknowledging God has been the source of attacks against me.
Yeah. Well, I want you to know, Judge, I stand with you. I appreciate you. I think it speaks volumes about your character and your faith in the Lord that, you know, a lot of people would quit. They would just go and say, this isn't worth it. I'm out. But you didn't do that. And you have stood, you have fought the good fight, and you're still fighting the good fight. And life's not over. You won the big judgment. I saw where they're appealing that. Obviously, they don't want to pay you that money. When do you think that'll come to a conclusion?
Well, actually, it's in the 11th Circuit right now, and it's before them, and they're to issue a ruling soon. And either way, it'll probably go to the United States Supreme Court. But we have won in the district court. We run for a jury. The judge strongly supported our position. And we expect, hopefully, that the 11th Circuit will recognize the validity of our arguments.
Okay, and so that came about. You were running for the U.S. Senate. You were in the lead against, was it Doug Jones? And then they smeared you.
It was against Doug Jones, but first I had to overcome the Republican primary, and that was with a former Attorney General, Luther Strange, and I won overwhelmingly, and I was destined to become the first senator elected after Donald Trump's first election. And of course, then they came down, and what they did to Donald Trump later, they did to me first. Mm-hmm. Is kind of a practice run, I guess. They attacked me with false accusations, and I'm still fighting some in court today. In fact, the 11th Circuit ruling is coming down. We've also got another case in court, and I fought another case in Montgomery a few years ago against the main accusation there.
Well, I've had people as a pastor say things about me that were false, and those things hurt, and they hurt your family. It's difficult to not get angry. It's difficult to not want to lash out, and Judge, I just appreciate your stand. As I said, I appreciate you standing up for the truth and not taking that lying down, not letting them beat you, so to speak, because you're standing for righteousness. We're talking to Judge Roy Moore. He's known as the Ten Commandments Judge, and he is a warrior for the truth. And so he's going to be with us this whole hour. When we come to the last segment of the program, we'll be taking your calls. So just put that in your mind, 888-589-8840 in the last segment. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. It's the day before the 4th of July celebration as we celebrate 249 years as a nation. We have much to thank God for. So we are up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. I'm talking to Judge Roy Moore, the Ten Commandments judge, a man of principle, a man of conviction, a man who loves the Lord, loves the Word of God, loves his family, loves America, and loves Israel. Judge, let me ask you this. With all that you went through in 2017, that had to be harder than what you went through in 2002. Would you?
Yes, very much.
I mean, you were standing up for a principle, the Ten Commandments, in the early 2000s, and then you got attacked personally in 2017 when you ran for the U.S. Senate. What did you learn through all of that?
Well, surprisingly, Jeff, what you began the program with is what I learned. You know, it's easy to memorize portions of scripture, but it's hard to go through them and understand how they're applicable to your life. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets before you. You know, it's easy when you go through these things to forget that you're blessed. Mm-hmm. And that's something you can't explain to people. And certainly if you'd been through the trauma we've been through, cameras following you everywhere you go. We couldn't even leave our house to go to church. Mm. It was so bad that, you know, we went through pure hell. Mm-hmm. But in that, when you finish it, you realize that God is there. And nothing happens without his allowing it to happen. And he allows it to happen for a reason. And it's a blessing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm reading a book, The Great Controversy. And it refers back to the things that early Christians went through when the church of Rome at that time forbade even the preaching of the gospel in the language of the people. Mm-hmm. And of course, they didn't, they were out to raise money, indulgences, and people stood up like Martin Luther and Hun, others that fought against that. Some were burned at the stake and went down in flames singing. But it's something, you know, most of us don't have to go through that. Most of us in America aren't going to be burned at the stake. But you know, when you do suffer, you have to realize that false witnesses rise up, as it said in Psalm 35. They hid for me their net in a pit, and persecuted without cause. Mm-hmm. And but God is still there. And he basically builds your faith through that. And a lot of our early pioneers in Christianity learned that the hard way. Mm-hmm. And we need to learn a little bit of that today.
Judge, when I think about what you're just saying, so my mind goes to Naboth. Naboth was lied about by Jezebel and her worthless compatriots. And Naboth lost his life over something he didn't do.
He didn't do, yes.
So
trying to take his vineyard.
Yeah. When you get that stuck, that accusation stuck on you, just like Clarence Thomas. I mean, it's hard to think of Clarence Thomas without the Anita Hill scandal, which I believe she totally made that up. He didn't do those things, but that gets attached to his name, his character. Oh, yeah. Now he's outlived a lot of that. When you talk to different people, when you appear in public, do you get asked about that a lot?
Well, I do. I'm not in the public eye as much today because I've retired from the judiciary. But yes, people ask. In fact, I got a letter the other day or a note on email from somebody in, I think it was Illinois or Indiana, just blasting me for something I didn't do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, no matter how many polygraph tests you take, no matter how many cases you win, mm-hmm. that stain is still there. And some people want to believe it, and they can if they want to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, something is not true that they bring against you that, you know, I've been married for over 40 years now. Mm-hmm. We've had four children. I've never been divorced. I've never been, you know, separated from my wife. She withstood all these attacks, mm-hmm. despite the fact that, and I had thousands of people come in my support.
Yes.
They knew me back then. They knew that I didn't do these things, but it didn't matter. Just recently, a New Yorker article came out, and they were reviewing all these things and going back and asking some of these same women questions. And I read what they wrote, and some of them are making up things that they never even brought up before. Mm-hmm. They prosper by lying. They right. get paid, they get recognition, and I'm sorry that happens. There's nothing you can do about it. When you get in politics, politics is a very, very, as we know, dirty business.
It really
if
is.
If you're going to do right, you better be willing to suffer.
A judge, I'm just trying to think through, can you remember a time where a Republican smeared a liberal with lies like that?
No, I can't. But I know that it happens, and it's happened to me, and it's happened to others. Things are made up that are completely ridiculous. 32 days before the election, people came out that I did not know, had never known. And then I've been through trials, recently, and I've won jury verdicts. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter to people. They want to believe what they want to believe. And
right.
I've taken polygraph examinations to try to prove the innocence, or they're not admissible in court. But certainly they wouldn't take a polygraph
examination. Well, we are grateful that the Lord is the righteous judge. He will, you know, I tell people this all the time, Judge. I say the three things every Christian has to have chiseled in his heart: God loves me, God is good, and God is going to work all things together for good to those who love him. And I think when you have those things down pat, they're not going to be negotiated or eroded away. You can really withstand anything because you know the Lord's going to make it right in the end.
And you got to know that God never leaves you, and mm-hmm. God protects you. That doesn't mean you're not going to have attacks. That doesn't mean that people aren't going to come against you and make false accusations. In fact, in Psalm 35, it says, false witnesses rise up against me. Mm-hmm. They laid for me a trap in their net in their pit. Which without cause they persecuted you. Mm-hmm. It's always without cause. It always has to be something that shouldn't happen. But in that God is still there, and mm-hmm. God will protect you. He builds your faith, your strength. And that's what I'm learning day to day.
Okay, so in 2017, when you were smeared as a predator and all these things that they tried to, put on you, they obviously feared you. They did not want you to win because it's not that they had anything against you personally. They just hated you, what you stood for. So we live in a world today, Judge, as you know, where it doesn't seem like the left has good ideas about anything. They'll just come after the person. They create this straw man, and then they attack the straw man, things that aren't true. But we've lost our ability to debate the issues, it seems. And just like with the Ten Commandments, that doesn't make sense that you would lose that case.
No, it doesn't. I mean, we're about to have 4th of July. Let's look at the Declaration of Independence. What is the statement that everybody knows from the Declaration? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it's the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Those words mean everything to me. God gave us a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Nobody knows what the pursuit of happiness means. I could ask any legalist, any person where Jefferson got the pursuit of happiness, and they don't know where it is. It comes from. It comes from Blackstone's commentaries. Mm-hmm. And it said that God had so connected justice and felicity or happiness that he had not perplexed man with many rules of behavior, but had reduced them to one paternal precept that man should pursue his own happiness. It's all about God's law. Mm-hmm. And God's law was something that meaningful to our forefathers. As I said, if you look at the first sentence of the Declaration, which most people don't know, it says that when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, Great Britain, and assume among the powers of the earth a separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect of the opinions of mankind requires they should declare the causes that impel them to separation. Then he goes, we hold these truths to be self-evident. So the first thing that Jefferson did in writing the Declaration was to state that we're entitled to do this. Why? Because God's law entitles us to do this. Mm-hmm. Madison said the same thing about the Constitution. In Federalist Papers, he wrote that on what principle the Confederation, which stands in the solemn form of a compact between the states, can be superseded without the unanimous consent of the parties to it. He said the first question to be answered at once by recurring to the absolute necessity of the case, to the great principle of self-preservation, to the transcendent law of nature and of nature's God, which declares that the safety and happiness of society are the objects which all political institutions aim and to which all such institutions must be sacrificed. What Madison was saying is we're entitled to have the Constitution, not the Confederation that was formed before Articles of Confederation. In the Constitution, it says that if 9 states adopted the Constitution, and actually all 13 did, then we'd have a new Constitution. And he said, what principle can you do that without everybody agrees to it? He said, it's simple. God's law gives you that right. Mm-hmm. And so Madison, the father of the Constitution, says we're having a right to the Constitution because of God and God's law. And so today, in 2000 years, we find that God's law is being discarded. I mean, think about, and I know you do, Jeff, and all pastors should, everything that God created, Satan's attacking. Mm-hmm. Men and women, 2 genders. Mm-hmm. We now have some people thinking we have 20 genders. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. There's 2 genders, men and women, and everything that's going on in our government, this transgender sports. Mm-hmm. We've got civil rights for women in order to lift them up. And then we say that men can go over and participate against them in sports like swimming or volleyball or mm-hmm. whatever, fencing. And that's okay. And women today are arguing that position.
Yeah.
To the discredit of the rest of the women in the world. I can't understand it. I can't understand how we got here. And thankfully, we've gotten a president that will stand up against that.
Well, I've stated that repeatedly, Judge, that you know, Donald Trump, he's not a perfect guy by any stretch of the imagination, but he has common sense. He has a compass that knows the difference between right and wrong, and he hasn't committed moral insanity like so many have. The Supreme Court Justice Brown, who can't define what a woman is because she's not a biologist. I mean, things like that that are just ridiculous. So a couple more questions before we go to the break. How have you kept yourself, with all the smears that have been against you, how have you kept yourself from getting bitter?
Getting what, son?
Bitter.
Well, knowing that the Bible says this is what's going to happen. It says it all through the Bible. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Mm-hmm. Draw it also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. This has happened throughout history, and it's going to continue to happen. Mm-hmm. Nothing I can say or you can say is going to stop people from falsely attacking you in politics. But if we don't have people to stand up, you know, the greatest president in our history has to be George Washington. And in his farewell address, he addressed everything that we're suffering today. Party spirit, the fury of party spirit. He said that it would be, instead of a fire that would warm you, it'll be a fire that will consume you. It will destroy public administration and cause dissension and false accusations. And he spoke against it. But, you know, he said, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, two things were most important: religion and morality. Mm-hmm. Now, those words were defined in Webster's dictionary as the duties you owe to God, that's your religion, and the manner of discharging those duties, and then the duties you owe to your fellow citizens. That was the Ten Commandments, and it's so defined in Webster's dictionary. So that's why the Ten Commandments mean a lot to me.
Yes.
Why it meant a lot to our founding fathers.
Let me break in here, Judge. We're up against a break. We're talking to Judge Roy Moore. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be taking your calls when we come back. Don't go away.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of Preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a Preborn Network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We've been talking to Judge Roy Moore, the founder of the Foundation for Moral Law. He's known as the Ten Commandments Judge. He's a warrior for the truth. He's been smeared. He's been maligned. He's like a Timex watch. He takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Stands up for the Lord. He's my kind of guy. He was with us at First Baptist Texarkana some years ago, and I appreciate him so much. Thank you again, Judge, for coming on today. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about Donald Trump. What's your opinion on Donald Trump?
You know, it's funny. Donald Trump and I crossed paths throughout our life. When I was at the United States Military Academy, it's only a few miles from the New York Military Academy, where I think Donald Trump went to high school. And it was about the same time. I went to the United States Military Academy in 1965 and graduated in 1969. And I think he was there few years before that. So we were close, and I have spoken to Donald Trump after he was against me during the first primary and running for United States Senate. The Washington establishment had kept me away from him. They did not want him to know who I was. Mm-hmm. And I won that. And then when I ran the second time, he called me and asked, you know, hoped I would, you know, be strong and survive the attacks that I didn't know were coming. And basically, he was for me then, and that's when I lost. But Donald Trump is a man that stands for what he believes. A lot of people don't like him because of maybe his character, his language, or whatever. But what he's doing is what we need in our country. He's standing up, and I can't help but believe that Donald Trump knows that God is the one to get the glory. Mm-hmm. If he didn't, he would have been assassinated more than once. So I admire him for standing up for what he believes. I think that, you know, some of these things are common sense, and I can't understand how they can just oppose him for no reason. This thing in Iran was something that was very necessary. If they get nuclear weapon, they would definitely use it, as right. opposed to other countries that use some logic and reason. They were religious, and they would definitely do that. And Israel had a right to defend itself, and actually God will defend Israel. Mm-hmm. But, you know, those things, illegal immigration, we're suffering from not enforcing our laws. Mm-hmm. And we're suffering badly. And indebtedness, we do have a problem with increased indebtedness. Mm-hmm. And I admire, you know, people that are standing against that. We don't need higher debt. But I think we have to turn some things around. And I think he's doing that. And then I hope that will affect the way we attack the indebtedness in our country. Party spirit. Well, I can't say anything about party spirit. It's there. Democrat versus Republican, we need to go back to common sense.
Yes.
And common sense should rule the day. And I think Donald Trump has also experienced fury of party spirit within the Republican Party when he started. So, and also now we have Democrat and Republican. You know, we've got to get back as a people to quit worshiping politics and worshiping the things that this country is founded upon. And that's what 4th of July is all about.
Right.
They face tremendous obstacles. So,
yes, very good. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment for Judge Roy Moore, he is open to taking those. And we have Steve on the line from Arkansas. Steve, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor and Judge Wood. First, Judge, I did pray for you while you're going through all that, okay, earnestly. Look at that. And it's kind of interesting because you talked about, or somebody said, the idea of sexual predator. I used to have to ride a bike to church. I would ride about 12 miles. I'd be exhausted by the time I got there. Well, they had a, you know, playground out there, and I'd sit on the swing out there. But somebody actually, I would pray for the services, but somebody came up with the idea that I was a sexual predator. So, you know, common denominator insults. Point of the call, okay, John Milton. He said, courage is the greatest of all virtues. If you have not courage, you may never survive the rest. Okay. And you've been an example. Okay. An example of courage. And that is applause worthy. Okay. And then I was supposed to go say Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He said this, let the lie come into the world. Let it even triumph. But not through me. Okay. So God has put us here, and the idea of having an eternal impact by not letting the lie triumph. Well, you know, John Adams, I think he said, he said, duty is ours and results are God's. And
yes, very good. Well, yeah. lots of great quotes on courage. I think Winston Churchill had some great quotes on courage. He's a man of courage. If you don't have courage, you can't get very far for the Lord. You know, as he told Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you feel like a courageous person, Judge?
I don't look at it as courage. I look at it as commitment. I can't do anything but acknowledge what I believe and what this country is founded upon. And that's what I did in law, and I did that. And you know, I went against some powers that didn't like that. Mm-hmm. And so it's not courage as much. Maybe it's courage and I don't recognize it, but I think it's more commitment and resolve to do that which is right in God's eyes, and the rest of it's in his hands. He wins in the end anyway. Mm-hmm. So I'm not worried about it.
Recently, Judge, I preached on Hebrews chapter 11 and the great hall of the faithful. But then what people don't realize is toward the end of that chapter is you have and others that are sawn in two and are destitute and have difficulties. Just because we walk with the Lord, we trust the Lord, we do what he wants us to do, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And James in Acts chapter 12 was beheaded for his faith, and Peter was set free by the angel. We don't know how the Lord is going to use that. We just know he's in charge of it all.
That's right. And I give it to God. You know, the apostles went through it. The people, Martin Luther, Huss, Wycliffe, they all went through it, and they learned by faith. There was a knight, and I can't Bergman, I think, in the France, that was liked by the king, and he was favored, and he was solidly behind Rome. But he started awakening to the scriptures, and he turned to be a reformist. And I noticed that he was at one time when the king was out of the country, they attacked him. And they hated him so much, they burned him and killed him and executed him before the king could get back to protect him. People have gone through it for centuries, mm-hmm. and we don't even realize how much. At first, there was some hesitancy to stand up. Peter, example, mm-hmm. He denied sure. Christ three times.
Right.
And in the end, he was turned upside down and crucified. Mm-hmm. and wanted to be crucified upside down because he realized God was there.
Right. Yeah. And the Lord told him that was going to happen in the end of John.
Yeah.
Well, we have Dennis on the line from Missouri. Dennis, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, good morning, Pastor Shreve and Judge Moore.
Good morning.
I just want to simply say, Judge, I know I remember reading the paper, all the things you went through. I'm just so proud of you. They need more men like you and more judges like you. You're a great man of God, and I'm just proud to know you're on our side. So, blessings to you and your family, and hope you have a blessed day. Pastor Shreve, always blessings to you and your family, and I'm just glad to know you as well.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that and appreciate the call. Judge,
Pastor,
go ahead.
You know, lots of times they screen calls too. I don't mind being criticized. I've been criticized enough. If people want to ignore the facts, that's their problem. After 40 years of marriage and four children and all the things I've done and stood for, eight campaigns, and they wait till 32 days before an election to attack you, and if that's not unreasonable, it's like, why did they not come forth before that time? Mm-hmm. So I'm not afraid to attack, you know, people that attack me. If they want to let them through the calls, that's fine.
Well, I appreciate that. Judge, what is your opinion on the state of the judiciary these days?
I think the state of the judiciary is like our founding fathers realized, that the judges would assume to be a higher branch than the Congress and the executive. And I think that we've gotten to that point. I think that the Supreme Court's addressing some of those problems, like preliminary injunctions issued in some state that some district that has nothing to do with the president's policies. The president has power under the executive branch and should. And Congress has power, and the judges are there to interpret the laws, but not to make the laws. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of law is being made by courts, and I see that what you pointed it out, the division on the Supreme Court, six Republican and three Democrats, and they're voting politics.
Right.
And they can couch their words the way they want, but it goes back to political division on the court. And mm-hmm. I think we need to back to reason, and reason would dictate that things that are happening in our country are going right for a change, and we need to recognize that. Yeah. But I think the courts have become too political.
Yeah, amen. I agree. We have Paul on the line from Ohio. Paul, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Yeah. Good morning, Judge. Judge, you're a hero of mine. I'm a third-term village councilman. And I guess to keep this short, I would appreciate a prayer from you, gentlemen. I'm considering to run for mayor here in a couple years. And I need wisdom. I don't want to force the issue, but if it's something I should do, I want to hear the Lord's voice loud and clear.
All right. Very good. Judge, you want to pray for him? His name's Paul.
Well, we need people to stand up. And, I admire people that will run for these offices because they don't realize sometimes the headaches they're going to face. But you got to face those. We got to have good people in politics.
We do.
You know, today, a lot of people go in politics for power, for prestige, but not for principle. And it's all about principle that we should go into politics for. Mm-hmm. It's to stand up for what the country's founded upon.
That's exactly right.
You know, politics is not about power.
Judge, let me ask you one last question. What's the next step for you? What do you see on the horizon?
Well, I'm just praying that God's will be done in my life. Whatever it is, whether it's politics, whether it's service, whatever, whether it's suffering, God's will done in your life is all you can pray for. And I don't know what the future holds for me, but, you know, I know that I'll not desert what I believe. And standing for the law of God is something that is very necessary in our country today. Whether it's evolution, whether it's whatever, there's an attack on God's principles of law and government.
Mm-hmm. Well, Judge, I want to say thanks for coming on today. It's been a blessing. It's great to see you again. And I just pray that God's hand would be upon you. He'd guide you and he'd use you in great ways. We need men like you that stand up and speak the truth.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff.
Well, God bless you. Well, we do want to pray for Paul, and we want to pray. I had a listener contact me just got the email yesterday, and she said, you know, I think it would be good, Pastor Jeff, if you would pray at the end of every program. And so I want to do that. And so Marcy and Dennis, Frank, I'm sorry we didn't get to you, but I do want to pray. I want to pray specifically for Paul since he called in and asked for prayer. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for loving us, and I thank you for Judge Roy Moore, and I thank you for his courage. I thank you for his commitment. I thank you that he's a man of principle. And Lord, I ask you to bless him, bless his family, and all he's been through, Lord, that your name would be glorified in his life. And we do pray for Paul, and we pray that you would give him wisdom, just as you promised in James chapter 1, verse 5, show him what to do and the timing of it as he pursues being the mayor there. And God, that you just guide him, protect him, and use him in great ways. And Father, we do thank you for our country. We thank you for our president. We ask you for wisdom for Donald Trump and his cabinet, and for all those in authority, those making decisions, and this big, beautiful bill and all that's going on. We lift it all up to you. We trust you, Lord, to be our friend, our redeemer, our maker, our creator. And we love you. In Jesus' name, Amen.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.